I'm not going to discourage you to do that. We're just going to see where that goes. And if it grows, it'll grow. And eventually at my high school graduation, he said, it's grown. And released me to go to Guadalajara, Mexico for 2 years. I worked with a program called Engage with the Assemblies of God and served with missionaries there and had a wonderful time. And then came to Southwestern Assemblies of God University in Waxahachie, Texas, and got my undergraduate degree from there. And now I'm here at AGTS, and it's working with Project Rescue since I came to Springfield as well, and it has been a joy. This summer, I had the opportunity through AGTS and through Project Rescue to do quite a bit of travel, actually. I was in Israel, Egypt, and Jordan with Dr. Wave Nunnally from Evangel, with whom many of you are familiar. And what a joy to just see the Holy Land and study ancient history and just grow in the confidence that we can have in the reality of our faith. Our God is a God of history. He entered our world, and he left his fingerprints all over the timeline of history. And so it was a great time to meet with him and learn from him. And then I went to India for a month and a half this summer with Project Rescue. This last summer was actually the first time for a male internship program. For those of you who don't know what Project Rescue is, Project Rescue is a ministry to women and children whose lives have been affected by sexual slavery in India, Nepal, Moldova, Bangladesh, within Eurasia, and newly actually in Spain. And as Project Rescue began, they began taking care of women who had been prostituted and their children. Children who had been growing up in the red light districts on the streets and needed someone to give them to take care of them. Prostituted women in the red light districts would give their children, saying, "We need someone to take care of our children and help provide a different life for them." And Project Rescue was born out of that passion. And as it has grown, they have focused on primarily women and their children, but recently, actually, a boys' home has opened up in Delhi for young boys, specifically for young boys who are growing up in these areas. And there's some exciting things happening in Kolkata with ministry to boys who are growing up in the red light districts. And so that was where the male interns kind of came in, and we spent some time with these children. And it was challenging to work in such a context, a space that seems so dark, having to come to the edge of the red light district to our evening care center, where children who still live in the red light district will come during peak hours of business in the evenings, needing a safe place to just stay off the streets and have a place for people to help tutor them and get their homework done. And just to be surrounded by so much darkness, it's almost overwhelming. But as I was there, a passage came to my heart from Revelation 21, where God says that he is going to make all things new. And tonight, that is what I wanted to talk with you about, is three things that God wants to make new. And if you'll turn to Revelation 21, we can begin there. In verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." What a beautiful image, a vision of in the last days when God finally makes everything right with the world. He makes a new heavens and a new earth, and God comes to dwell with man, and there is wholeness in all of life for every person. And he makes all things new, and God says that he is the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end of that process. And this image of hope encourages us because it is far larger than any present situation or problem we may face. We can look onward with the confidence that God will ultimately make things right with the world. Isaiah saw a similar thing in Isaiah chapter 62, and I want to take you there really quick, where he says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married." At the beginning of this book, in Isaiah, God speaks through Isaiah and tells the people, "You are a sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged." That was the identity of God's people at that time. And yet Isaiah saw prophetically a day when things would be made right. And he says that he wants to call them by a new name. Their former name was sinful nation, iniquity, evildoers. And he says, "I want to call you by a new name." He says, "I want to call you righteous, redeemed, the delight of the Lord." A new name signifies that God wants to give a new identity. He wants to give a new destiny to things, the former things. When we worked in Kolkata, the boys that we spent time with about 13 boys, ages 10 through 17, and were able to take them aside and just invest in their lives in the time that we were there. And it was incredible as we were able to just disciple them and help them find their identity in Christ and teach them lessons about men like Boaz, who, although he was a powerful man and Ruth was a vulnerable woman, did not exploit her or take advantage of her, but protected her, guarded her, treated her as an equal, and such a relevant example for them in their context with so many vulnerable people and exploitation taking place, and helping them find their identity in Christ. And the same thing is taking place with these boys in the home in Delhi as they are growing up in full-time care with Project Rescue, just receiving discipleship, full-time love, and coming to understand who they are in Christ and the value that they have. Now, Isaiah and John in Revelation are looking to the future. They're seeing this beautiful image of things finally made right. But what do we do about today? I would say to you that the future has invaded the present. And that took place in Jesus. Jesus brought what was only a glimpse and a vision of the future into the reality of our day. And in this, I want to come to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, according to the former things. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." I'm hoping that you hear echoes through these passages. In Isaiah 62, God talks about giving his people a new name, not regarding them by their former sins, but calling them righteous and redeemed. And here in through Jesus now, people can actually not be considered according to their flesh, but according to the righteousness of Jesus. It says in verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God." A change of identity, a change of name, a change of essence. In when he speaks of the old passing away and the new things coming, that's the same thing we heard in Revelation when God speaks of all the old things passing away, the old heavens and the old earth, and then the new heavens and the new earth coming, and God wanting to make all things new. We're hearing the same thing here through the work of Jesus in our lives, that the old has passed and the new has actually come today through Jesus. We have the opportunity to become new creations in Christ. And we are exchanging our former essence, our former being. We were sin, and now we can become righteousness with God. Reconciliation is a word that means coming into agreement or coming into harmony with God, a restoration to reality and to relationship. Someone told me that it takes 13 years for a Muslim between their first encounter with a believer and their final coming to Christ. It takes them 13 years. And as I read that statistic, I realized that it had been 13 years since I first started following Jesus. And as I remembered God's faithfulness to me, I thought, if God has been so faithful to me through these years to see me through, to transform my identity, even though I am sinful but yet he has called me by a new name. He has been willing to bring righteousness into my life and transform me. Can I not be faithful to others for the same amount of time? Can I not be faithful to others to help bring reconciliation to them? And in the red light district, men who come to the red light district, they have a nickname. They're called John, because the connotation is that the men who come here, that's the common man's, everybody comes, and that's why they're called John. And that's the name that we give these men. But I believe that God wants to call these men by a new name. He wants to change their identity. He wants to change the very essence of their heart, and he wants to make all things new for them. What I feel I'm sharing tonight is a vision of healing, both for the oppressed and for the oppressor, a vision of transformation for the exploited and the exploiter. A vision of wholeness for those rescued from the district and restoration of the very district itself. God wants to make all things new in us. And God wants to make all things new in our world. There's nothing he doesn't want to see recreated and restored to him. Nothing and no one. But God also wants to use us to help make all things new in our world. In Christ, we have a new identity. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, God is making all things new in our world. And in Christ, we serve our world to bring it to newness to life. In all three of these passages, there is a word both to those who need reconciliation with God, who need to find their identity in Christ. And there is also a word to those who have been reconciled, who have found their identity, and are now called to the ministry of reconciliation. For those who would need to find reconciliation, perhaps you have been finding your identity and your self-worth in what others say about you, or in the things that you do, or the things that you have accomplished, or perhaps your self-worth and your identity has been marred or harmed by others, and you don't believe that you have any value or you're valuable at all. And perhaps you feel rejected and you feel responsible for it. God wants to tell you who you are. He wants to call you by the name that he chooses. And God wants to rebuild who you really are in him. The Bible says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. the love that we experience between others, when we meet someone who we know their thoughts never change towards us, that they always care about us, that brings healing into our life. And we're not afraid to come to them. But someone who loves so consistently that we never have to doubt their love towards us and the thoughts they think towards us, that their thoughts are always for our good, that their thoughts are always to bring healing and wholeness in our lives. That kind of love will actually cast out fear. And so God tells you to come, that there is no need to fear in his love, that his love can cast out fear, fears of rejection, fears of a loss of significance, a lack of identity and self-worth, that he wants to rebuild and recreate who you are, and he wants to tell you who you are. He wants to call you by the name that he chooses. Now, for those of you who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you have experienced his transforming power, and he has redeemed your life from the pit, and you know that his new name, he has given you a new name, and you know who you are in Christ. God wants to bring this kind of transformation to others through you. 1 John 4 says, as he is, so are we in this world. And in Isaiah 62, it tells the watchman on the walls to not give God any rest until he transforms and establishes righteousness in their world. And in 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us to serve others in such a way that we call them, we implore others, be reconciled to God. So I would encourage you, if you feel that you need to experience God's touch on your life, to find your worth in him, for him to just remind you of that, for him to remind you that he wants to make all things new in your life, that is the work of Christ for you tonight. But there are those of you who have experienced that. I would encourage you, I would invite you to participate with God in helping others experience and taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants to bring his transformation through you. And we are to pursue, we are to bombard heaven, as Gary Dembo said this morning. We are to bombard heaven until he transforms and establishes his righteousness in this world. So tonight, I would like to close this talk with an invitation for those of you who feel that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, to come forward. And I would like to then invite those of you who feel a need to experience that for yourself, to then come up to one of those individuals who has come up, that you guys can pray together, that we can pray together. I believe that God wants to minister through us to each other. And so if you feel that you can say, yes, I have tasted and seen the Lord is good, I have experienced his power in my life, and I know who I am in Christ, I would invite you to come forward. This isn't just for the pastoral staff in the front, but I would invite you, any of you who feel that you have found that reality in Christ, I want you to come forward, because I want you to be able to pray for those who may come forward saying, I need a touch from the Lord. I need to hear his voice in my life. I need to find his love for myself.